Oh, I love that song. I used to sing that as a choir boy. Seventh grade. Don't get me started, because I've lost my soprano voice. That's the only voice I sang in. Bill Arnold here at 6:34. What's with atheists being evangelists? Dr. Alex McFarland is an author, a speaker, religion and culture expert, and advocate for Christian apologetics, who has written 17 books. And his newest one, The God You Thought You Knew, is awesome. In his 20-year career, he has spoken to thousands, and rumor also has it he can cook a 7-course meal using only a toaster. Dr. McFarland, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. For an appetizer, we'll have a salad, the main entree is in the toaster even as we speak.
Oh, it sounds like a Pop-Tart. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Oh, so atheists are getting all evangelical now, aren't they? They want to spread the word.
Well, you know, it's interesting how the atheism we've seen in the last several years has been an atheism that tries to proselytize, isn't it? And what's also amazing, having debated a number of these atheists, they will tell you passionately how atheism and unbelief is the default position of the rational mind. The smart people just naturally will reject belief in God, they say. But yet, when I meet these people on university campuses throughout the USA, they have to plead and beg and argue and persuade and really evangelize for their cause. And I think part of that is because atheism is very counterintuitive. But yes, they are, and they take every chance they can to get in the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas and Easter. See, atheism as a worldview, atheism is a parasite in search of a host. It's not a worldview that can just stand on its own, and it's certainly not one that is consistently livable. Because think about this. Look, if there is no God, if there is no good, if there is no ultimate purpose for life, why do anything? It makes no sense to talk of the world being, quote, better or worse. You know, the world would be better if we could divest ourselves of religion. It would be worse if people are believers and followers in God. Look, if there's no ultimate standard of good against which we measure, it's foolishness to speak of better or worse. There's just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, logic and consistent living has never been one of atheism's strong points anyway.
Now, atheists are actually spending money to put up billboards. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of billboards they're putting up and what they're saying?
Well, you know, for about 5 years now, American Atheists, which was started in the 1960s by Madeline Murray O'Hare, the current president of which is a guy named David Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually kind of a friend of mine. We've debated 4 or 5 times. He's actually a really, he's a nice person. We're friends, David Silverman. I like David. He's in many ways a delightful person, but his worldview is just totally messed up. And let me say why David Silverman is an atheist. I don't fully know. I do know that of the atheists that I've interviewed, like Christopher Hitchens and Michael Shermer of Skeptic Magazine, always, the road to atheism begins with emotional pain. And all of the atheists that I've been able to interview in depth described some story where they were, as a young person, deeply wounded by some circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been related to their fathers. It could have been related to some toxic church experience. But intellectual skepticism begins with emotional pain. Now, they prop it up with sophisticated sounding argumentation. And, you know, they love science and Darwin. And they
mm-hmm.
try to find alleged contradictions in the Bible. But they put up all these billboards at Christmas, like it's not Christmas, it's Christmas, and this season, celebrate reason, things like that. But again, atheism is a host that cannot exist apart from, atheism is a parasite that
mm-hmm.
cannot exist apart from some type of host. And in December, that host on which they feed is Christmas. In the spring, the host on which this parasite feeds will be the resurrection of Christ. And to a large degree, via American public education and a government that's forgotten it was based on a Judeo-Christian worldview, in recent decades, the host on which the parasite of atheism has fed has been Western Christian culture.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've never heard it put that way. That's really interesting, and I'll never be able to think about it again without that thought in my head, that it's a parasite that needs a host. That's really interesting, Dr. McFarlane, I must say.
Well, I think we who are believers and who are followers of Jesus, we need to realize that atheists, behind all of the alleged intellectualism and swagger and bluster, these are people that feel and people that are often hurting. I was in a debate, and I was talking about that atheists have no objective standard of morality. And this lady came up very upset, and she goes, "You mean atheists can't be moral?" I said, "I didn't say that. Atheists can act morally, but they don't have any universal objective reason to act morally. Look, you know, if we're just dust floating through space and there's no foundation of moral reality, i.e. God, there's no incentive to be good or reason to be good." And the lady began to tear up and cry. My wife and I, after a few minutes of talking and building some trust, she confessed that she was raised in church. She was molested by a youth pastor 40 years ago, and she had this seething anger against the very idea of God. And show me an atheist. Show me an activist-level atheist, and I'll show you somebody who at some time past was wounded. And for that reason, they need love, they need prayer, they need our friendship. And I want to say this, and this is the evangelist in me talking. We need to love people with no expectation of return.
Mm.
Now, do we want them to come to Christ? Of course we do. But we need to understand that people made in the image of God, they are an end in themselves. And we need to love the atheist and befriend them. Now, I'm not saying we need to embrace all that they spout or stand for, and we as Christians, we need to speak out against these fallacious, frankly ignorant billboards, and we need to recognize that the atheists are actively proselytizing for our children. The spread of atheism actually undermines the preservation of the U.S. Constitution. It really does, because the atheists have hijacked the First Amendment. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration, all these things only make sense in front of the backdrop of a belief in God and morality, i.e. the Ten Commandments, i.e. the Judeo-Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that America was based on a Judeo-Christian worldview. Our judiciary was, our government is. So the atheists, they don't know it, but in their war against God, they're actually threatening the country that gives them the freedom to live out their baseless worldview.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, David Silverman and I, God bless David Silverman, my friend, he's just so misguided in his worldview. But he told me, we debated in September, he said, I've got a book coming out, it's called Fighting God. I'm like, David, your whole career is there is no God, but you're fighting a being that doesn't exist. Interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. Fighting God. And the whole voice of the atheism of the last decade is, you know, there is no God, and I hate him. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So we need to pray, and mm-hmm. we need to witness, but we also need to teach our churches apologetics. That's why I love the Faith Radio Network, because you guys are not only, you know, winning souls, but equipping minds. And I applaud what you're doing.
Well, don't give me all the credit. Just don't give me all the credit. There's others.
Well,
there's others on the network too that are making a difference.
Amen, brother. Amen.
All right, I want to get
Christmas.
Oh, go ahead.
Know, Christmas is good because you know we follow a historical faith.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus really was born,
mm-hmm.
Crucified under Pontius Pilate, risen, seen alive after his death by eyewitnesses. You know, a week ago today, I was in Texas with my friend Lee Strobel, who wrote Case for Christ. You know, law degree from Yale, no dummy. Lee Strobel was an atheist for most of his adult life, and he told me the story. We filmed his testimony last Tuesday where Strobel says he spent 2 years looking at Christianity as if it were any legal case.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had, you know, 17 or 18 legal pads. He'd taken all these notes. He said one day he sat back and said, this is real. This is real. I can either fight it or I can embrace it.
Okay,
and it was amazing.
Yeah, Dr. McFarland, do not go anywhere. I've got more questions for you, and I know our listeners want to hear more from you. So we're going to take a very short break. It's 6:45. Welcome to your Tuesday morning. We'll be back in just a minute. Forty-seven. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. I feel like I have to start talking like a Las Vegas act, like because there's so much I want to get in, because we're talking to Dr. Alex McFarland, and there's so much that he's going to be offering us. We're talking about atheism and all the proselytizing they're doing this time of the year, and Dr. McFarland was saying they are a parasite that needs a host. Christmas is the host. They are feeding off that, and one of the things you brought up in the last segment, Dr. McFarland, is that the enemy will probably want to wound a person at as young an age as possible. So there is a port of entry that they can punish somebody, get into their life, and make them feel destroyed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, you know, we grow up and we have a period of life called pre-adolescence where we're you know, mentally and socially and emotionally processing what psychologists like Abraham Maslow used to call self-actualization. In other words, kind of, we're coming comfortable in our own skin. And three of the kind of emotional needs that we have are acceptance, significance, and security.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all take our lumps along the journey of life, but you know, acceptance is the question, do I fit in? And significance, do I matter? And security, am I safe? And when one or more of those things are breached, especially fairly severely, you know, the wounds we may carry our entire life. One of the things that I have found in the lives of atheists, and I've interviewed about 34 fairly well-known atheists, is that very often there's a very poor relationship with the father. And this was true of some of the very famous atheists in history, like Sigmund Freud and Ludwig Feuerbach and Nietzsche and Bertrand Russell. Very poor relationship with dad. Very often sexual molestation or, you know, very legalistic church experience. My friend Josh McDowell says this, that rules without relationship breeds rebellion. And a lot of the atheists that I have interviewed, it's not that they were exposed to real Christianity and rejected it, but they were exposed. They were maybe inoculated with some aberrant stream of Christianity, something hyper legalistic,
mm-hmm.
where there was nothing of grace, and your acceptance by God was totally based on performance,
mm-hmm.
not identity. And so when at a young age, either pre-adolescence or early adolescence, or even young adulthood, when your acceptance, your significance, your security is deeply wounded or shaken, that can not only hang with you and linger, it can also breed a real resentment of an authority figure, the figure that hurt you, whether it be father or mother or clergy. And that anger and that resentment against some wound or some perceived wound is directed at the highest authority of all, God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the only pathway, but that's a very, very, very common pathway.
Mm-hmm. So people realize at a very young age, they come to this conclusion, God can't be trusted and he's not good.
That's right. I trusted God. I opened my heart to God and I was skewered. I was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes let me say this, there is in the classroom an intellectual kind of train wreck. Maybe people were raised in a context of what we call fideism. Fideism is a Latin word that just means faith alone. Why is there a God? Well, because I have faith. Well, we trust God, yes, but the Christian faith is a faith uniquely underscored and validated by empirical evidence. And then 2 Peter chapter 1 says, you know, we have not followed cleverly devised myth or fable. So a kid is raised in a theistic environment, faith alone, just wish it to be true, believe it, and it's true. Well, they get to the university, there's an authority figure at the front of the room with a PhD who says, well, we evolved, and here's, you know, Homo erectus, and here's Lucy, and here's a pig's tooth from Nebraska, and the evolutionary chain. Here's Haeckel's evolutionary tree, and we had gills in our mother's womb, and we were a fish, and now we're a man. And suddenly there's this, you know, kind of epiphany. I say that in a bad way, mm-hmm. but it's like, oh my gosh, there's no God, there's no Bible. And by the way, people, I'm sure they know this, but modern secular education, every discipline is interpreted through the lens of evolution. You know, there's not God's revealed truth in Scripture or Christ, but religion and social mores, like biology itself, evolve. And when every academic discipline is seen through the lens of godless evolution, it can't help but take a toll on the mind of a young person if that young person has not been prepared. That's why, you know, if I could be self-serving a moment, I would implore everyone listening to go to standstrongministries.org and invite myself and Jason Jimenez to come to your church in 2016 or 2017 or 2018 and let us do an apologetics weekend with you to equip your people to know the faith and defend the faith. Because the classroom has become the proselytizing sanctuary for secularism.
Dr. Alex McFarland, thank you so much. Christmas is the time to communicate the truth about Christ, his birth, his life on earth, and how he came to save humanity. You are helping us do that. Thanks so much, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and to God be the glory.
Amen. It's 6:53. We'll be back in just a minute. Bill Arnold here in studio.